Take your Bible, go with me today. I think I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians. I'll turn that off. 2 Corinthians. And 3. Stick your finger there and stay there for a minute. We'll get to 2 Corinthians. I want to talk to you today about your identity. Your identity is when I was a kid, you know, I was born in a time when there were no car seats. You know what I mean? You were just rounding around in the back seat. You know what I mean? Like up in the windshield and everything. You know. I remember there was a time when there was an ashtray back there. You remember the ashtray back there? That's how brutal we were. Our parents, you know, you think secondhand smoke's bad today. Our parents would roll up the window, smoke a cigarette. We didn't have a choice. You know. And sorry, Mom. She smoked a little bit, you know what I mean? And we went to school, and you start off making something with that clay real nice. You know what I mean? You'd have something in your mind. You're like, I'm going to make this beautiful vase. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to give it to my mom today when I get home. And you start making this thing. And ultimately, what you started off to make ended up as an ashtray. It definitely ended up as an ashtray. And you bring that ashtray home, and your parents are like, oh, that's so nice. And they would sit there, and then they would use it. They would use it. I want you to know today that God does not make ashtrays. I want you to know that you're being formed, and that God knows exactly what He's doing as He's forming you. And you're not going, look at your neighbor and say, you're not going to end up as an ashtray. God knows what every press of His hand does in your life. He's very intentional about how He's forming you and how He's making you. God knows what He's doing. You're being formed. You need to write that down. I'm being formed. I'm not done yet. Look at your neighbor and say, if you don't like me, just hold on. God's not done. He's forming me still. He's still working on me, you know. If you don't like somebody, just hold on. You know, they could get better. God's working on them. You know, he's, you know, some of y'all are like, yeah, I wish He would work on them, you know, like this. Yeah. That's not how God does it, you know. His hands are real, they're tender and caring, strong, firm. I mean, He pushes on you. You don't want to, you're going to. I want to say that to parents today. You know, like, I want you to look at your kids like clay and understand that God's forming something. And it might not look like much right now. You know what I mean? It might be all... You know, it might look pretty bad. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. You looked pretty bad one time, too. Yeah, but look at you now. You know, look at you now. You was a hippie. Look at you now. You was a hippie. Now look at you. You a hippie born again, loving Jesus, out here telling, you know, walking in the love of Jesus. There are three ways to see yourself. The way others see you, the way you see you, and the way God sees you. There's an identity crisis we're experiencing right now in the world. And And it doesn't matter what it looks like. I want you to know it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't even matter if they want to. But God's going to have his way. God will have his way. Now look, I don't want to get in your business or nothing. But tomorrow, if I'm Jesus, I'm coming back tomorrow. You know what I mean? Everybody's obsessed with the moon and the stars right now. They're selling t-shirts. They're doing everything right now. I'm like, what is going on? Drove around the other day. I'm like, what is happening to everyone? I feel like I'm in a really cheesy Christian movie right now. So some of y'all, lock it up today with Jesus. Get right with Jesus now. Because if I'm Jesus and they're all looking up at the sun and then the sun comes. You know what I mean? You got an eclipse you wasn't ready for, you know. You got to be ready for the sun when he comes. It says you must be born again. If you got to be right with Jesus. When he comes, it's too late. You can't prepare when he's coming. Like when he's here, get ready now. There's an identity crisis. Back to my message. There's an identity crisis. Let me tell you something. An identity crisis emerges when your salvation fails to form Christ. We will always have a crisis in our identity when our salvation is not forming the image of Jesus. The problem is you want you to look like something. You think you're in control of what's being formed, and oftentimes we fight against the form, the forming of Jesus in our life. We're clay people being formed. You must understand, your salvation is forming you. It's forming you. The gospel of Jesus exists to make you look like him. That's the gospel. It's not eternal life. Can I share that with you? You know, Adam was never meant to die. He said, but the day you eat of the fruit of the tree, you shall surely. So he was never meant to die. Eternal life is a residual of salvation. Forgiveness is a residual of salvation. The gospel is about union with God, restoring what was lost in the Garden of Eden. And as Christ comes to live in you, you no longer live, but now Christ, and the life you now live, you live for who? Not for you. You live for Jesus. So the gospel is supposed to form you into every day. You're supposed to be pushed, and he forms you into him. Paul said, I love that I get to form the image of Christ in you. You don't get to form you. He does. The gospel is not about you. It's about Jesus. We come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, and unknowingly we form this gospel around the idea of that God is there to meet my. But that's not at all why he's there.
He meets needs
because his presence is all powerful. But that's not what the gospel does. The gospel, the miracle of the gospel is that I was dark inside, and he came and he flooded my life with hope and light, and now I'm alive. I can't explain it to you, but I know I was dead and now I'm alive. That's the gospel of Jesus. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I was walking around and I was dead, but on the day I met him, I was alive, man. And there's no way you can tell me that he's not real. I have become resurrected. I'm alive to Jesus. That's the gospel. If he never does another thing for you, that's the gospel. If you're a Christian whose salvation is defined by what God gives you, then your identity will always be whatever you need most. But if you're a Christian whose salvation is defined by the measure of Jesus revealed in you, then your identity will always be Jesus. Doesn't matter if I'm walking through the valley of distress in sorrow, I'm still in Jesus. Doesn't matter if circumstances are pressing me and pushing me and squeezing on me, I'm still in Jesus. Doesn't matter if I have a whole bunch or nothing at all, I'm still in Jesus. I can walk through this life with sorrow, but still have joy simultaneously. Why? Because I'm in Jesus. Jesus is in me. I'm being formed to look like him. Eternal life is not the goal. Eternal life is the residual. Eternal dwelling is the goal. And that is to reveal Jesus. Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He was able to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Those are strong words that he's able to say. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Because I'm alive whether I'm here or whether I'm in eternity. Jesus is in me and I don't live my life for me. I live my life to reveal him. My life is not my own. My life is his. And anytime we turn the gospel to serve us, it begins to create a conflict of identity. A conflict of identity. There are three ways you see yourself. You see yourself the way others see you, the way they see you. Can I tell you that they're not the image bearer in your life? Stop allowing them to impress you with what they see in you. Stop allowing the words of other people to form you into their image. Stop allowing the opinions of this world to form you into its image. You know why? Everyone starved for a prophetic word in the church. Everyone is. And it's an indication. Look at me. It's an indication. The fact that we all come to church and we love prophetic words. Like, I've never seen a time in Christendom where Christians come to church and they love a ministry so much as they do the prophetic. Everybody's a prophet today. Well, because prophets, they get to see. They get to see. And people love the fact that you see something in them. People love that. But can I tell you, like, it doesn't matter what they see. It only matters what God sees. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm telling you, like, lose the need for the affirmation of people in your life, because it does not matter what they see in you. I'm not saying the office of the prophetic is not a big part of what God's doing in this end time, but I'm telling you, if you're dependent upon a prophet to tell you what you are and who you are to God in this world, you have missed it, and you have missed your opportunity, because you have union with God. You don't need to go to a prophet anymore. You can go straight to Jesus and say, Jesus, tell me what you see. They're not telling me what you see. Jesus, you tell me what you see. You can go straight to him if you have union with him. But if you work But if your salvation is about what you work from him to get to you, then you'll be in perpetual need. You'll be a Christian who's in perpetual need. I need God, and God, I need you. God, I need you. And God's like, no. Just reveal me. Just let your lay, take up your cross. You don't have to die, but you do have to bear the burden of the image I'm forming in you. You lay down your life. I laid down mine so you could lay down yours. If they don't see Jesus, get rid of them. Huh? Some of us got to get rid of some people. Because they're trying to form you into what they see. You know what prophetic words should do? They should simply just confirm what you already know. Amen. You should have already heard that from Jesus. And Jesus is just sending you a reminder. Hey, just in case you don't forget, sis, this is who you are. I just wanted to remind. God told me this morning you needed to be reminded that he's still in control. Don't you go be getting overwhelmed by what you see on the outside, brother. Don't you allow these circumstances to kind of distract you. And don't you let the words of doctors get inside of your spirit. Don't you let these lies of the enemy come on the inside of you. No, let me remind you what God said. Yeah, let me remind you. If they don't do that for you, just go on now. Go on now. How others see you. That's how you see you. We live in a world that's so impressed how others see us. We create social media and we beg for them to tell us what they see in us. Our kids are raised with this ideology to like form this image and then let everybody else critique and criticize the image that you have and tell you and they live or die based on what they say. This is the tactic of the enemy to create an other's perspective of you, to create industries of the world that are demonic, to form them, to form their opinion of you, to form you into their image. That's the tactic of hell to destroy a generation. It's satanic. It's infiltrated every construct of our society, from Hollywood to politics. It's all about forming you into what they believe is good for you and what you should look like. All the while, we as sons and daughters of God, we don't have to belittle ourselves with their meager opinions, their lowly opinions of their ignorant opinions of us. We can go straight to God and say, God, tell me who I am. Tell me exactly who I am. I've been through the fire lately. I need you to remind me of who I am. How others see you doesn't matter. I don't care if. Look, you gotta say this to yourself. It doesn't matter what they see. I've already been to Jesus and I know what he sees. I know who I am in Christ. I talked to him this morning. I had breakfast with him. I had a cup of coffee with him this morning. I know how he likes his coffee. How you see you. How you see you. You're not the image. Can I tell you, you're not in control of your image. Your image is, you know, if you form you, I want you to know you'll fail. If you are put in charge of forming you, you will look like an ashtray. You will inevitably be broken pottery if you form you. You can't be trusted. You don't know what you're doing, man. Don't ever attempt to take over control of forming your life into your image. You have no business there. I want you to know that your identity is not in your past. Your identity is in Jesus. This is why counsel today from the secular realm is so broken, because it wants to take you to your past and figure out where you became broken. Listen, baby, I was broken the moment I was born. I was born in sin. And the fact that I was born in sin means that my past has nothing to do with this, because when I gave my life to Jesus, he wiped clean all of the past, all of the present, and all of the future. So your past is not who you are. You don't have to walk around clouded by failure and shame and insecurity. You can walk in confidence with Jesus. You can walk in confidence knowing that you look like him. You talk like him. You know, I get around some of my sons, you know, and I look at them. My son Jeremiah was praying the other day. I said, oh, he sounds like me. He was preaching the other day. I said, oh, look at it. That image of me is pressed into him. I look at my boy Caleb and Tristan, and they'll do things, and I'm like, you don't even know, but you look like me right now. They're formed. Their image is formed. You're being formed. And you can't trust you to form you. Stop looking at what you see. And you got to stop looking at what you see. You don't see that good. You can't see that good. You got what I call dark eye disease. And Jesus said, lest your eye be full of light. Huh? Yeah. You see, we can't trust us to form us. We don't even know what we're... How can you form you? You live within you. You need somebody that's without you to put their hands on you and form you. You need a God from outside of time to reach down within time, grab a hold of you and say, no, 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 that's not who you are. Let me show you who you are. Let me form you into the image that I made you to be. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew the image that you would bear. You can't trust you. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, yeah, how God sees you, how others see you, how you see you, how God sees you. Let me tell you how God sees you. Take your Bible. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. This is an interesting, I'm going to close here now because I got way more message than I do time. This is such an interesting passage of Scripture. I want your homework assignment for today is to go back to the beginning of chapter 3 and read it all the way through. It's a beautiful chapter of Scripture that Paul gives us here. He's making a reference to Moses. This is a reference to, said, but we with all with unveiled face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed. Woo-wee. Into the same, everybody look, the same image from glory to glory. You're not done. Paul here is telling us, he's making a reference to Moses. You remember that time when Moses would go up on the mountain? Brother, you remember, he'd go up on the mountain and he'd spend time, when he went into the dark cloud with God, he'd take the veil off. And I want you to know that Moses didn't have the revelation of Jesus yet. You're going to go back to, you're going to read that and you're going to find out that Moses didn't live in the revelation of Jesus like you and I do. He had a shadow and a type of it in the law. He had a law. He had the law. And he said, and Paul hears the saying, and when God was looking at Moses because he carried the ministry of the law, he said the law was so glorious and so powerful because
because of what it was pointing to, that when Moses left the presence of God, he had to wear a veil, and he came down, and when the children of Israel would see him, they would see him in a transformed image. Now just think for a moment. Moses handled the shadow of Jesus. And that shadow of Jesus was so dangerous. It was dangerous. Your image is dangerous. Hear me. Hear me good. Hear me good. This is why the enemy is destroying the identity of a generation, because the image of God in them is very dangerous. Let me show you how dangerous the image of God is on somebody. That they could not look directly at the glory of the shadow of Jesus. Moses had to wear a veil so they couldn't see all of the glory. Because if they saw all of the glory, they would die. You get it? And Paul here says this. Now, if they were to look at the glory of the shadow, and it would, that's how powerful it was. That's how powerful. Now, Paul says, but us, come on, look at your name, say me, you, we are with unveiled faces. We behold as in a mirror. We look directly, not at the shadow or the type, but we look directly at Jesus. We look right at Jesus. We behold, we lock eyes with the one whose eyes burn like fire, whose feet are like brass. We look right at him. And as we look at him, his glory, the power of his glory, it takes us from a marred image, and that glorious power that comes from God begins to shape us and make us more like him. And we are transformed. Trans means to be altered in your state. You are physically changed, emotionally changed. You are changed from the inside out. Your form begins to look less and less like you and more like him. Three things, I'll close. So what you must do, child of God, take off your mask. Stop pretending with God. Quit with the pretense. You can fake it for others, but you can't fake it for him. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. Where shall I hide from God? If I go to the depths of the ocean, you are there. No matter where I go, I cannot run from you. Take off the pretense. No more hiding. No more excuses. I want you to see the necessity for God's glory. You must fall out of love with the glory of this world and fall in love. Oh, to fall in love with the glorious presence of Jesus. There's nothing like his glory. It need not be announced. You know it when it's near. But it's important that you realize that you're changed. You're trans. You're formed. Accurate. Precisely. in his presence. You better get to places that manifest his presence. Church, you better stay away from present, from places that resist his presence. Stay away from atmospheres that hate his presence. Don't covenant with anyone who does not love his presence. Don't fall in love with status or image. Don't fall in love with power. Fall in love with his presence. Because in his presence, it's how you form. In his presence, you want to know what you look like? You look like Jesus. For he is the image of the invisible God. Colossians tells us that he looks, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. You are here to look like your daddy. Your existence on earth isn't about your talent, your ability, your selfish ambitions or pursuits. Your existence on earth is one. It's one. To lay down your life and say, Jesus, take this life of mine. Make me look like you. So when they look at me, they don't see me. Oh, but they see you. When they look at me, they don't see hopelessness, but they see hope eternal. When I sit down next to them at the restaurant, they feel you and not me. When my children walk into the room, you've been with Jesus. You gotta take off the mask. Church, we gotta take off the mask. All the versions of you that you wear, that you try to be, that prevent you from being who he's forming you to be. There's an unveiled face. Be honest with yourself enough. You don't have to hide. Adam was running and hiding, and he said, Adam, where are you? He said, I hid. Because I ate, and now I'm deformed. Sin has deformed me, and shame has come. But God went looking for him. You're here today, I want you to know, he'll never stop. He's relentless. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what you did. I don't care how egregious it was. Murder, rape. It's terrible things. He does not care. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. Take off the veil. Today, take it off. Pursue his glory. Take off the veil. Pursue his glory. His presence is the place where you are transformed. It's the place, his presence, the place where addiction, it just falls off. In his glory is the place where your pride, it just peeled away. In his glory, I want you to know that is his glory. But his glory is not cheap. It will cost you your flesh. It'll pull on your selfish ambition. His glory, it's got nothing to do with your calendar. Yeah? You want his glory? It's expensive. The cost is your life. Nobody can see my glory and live, he says. Only dead men can see the glory of God. You must die. You must lay your life down today. Not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. You must lay your life down. You must fight for glory. If you knew how much you would change in his glory, you would never avoid an opportunity, the potential. Churches would be full across the world if they really understood what happens in his glorious presence. Pursue his glory. Glory is contagious. It's contagious. It'll get on you. And even if he don't want it to, it'll get on Eddie. You know? It will. My wife was, we were driving in today, and we were talking about something. She said, oh yeah, he was a stinker. She said, I wasn't a stinker though. I was like, I'm glad you weren't a stinker. You know, if you get a stinker, let's not say that. Nobody wants their wife to be a stinker. I wasn't a stinker. But if you put a stinker in a room that's full of the glory, the stink will fall off the stinker. You know what I mean? Like, glory has this way of getting the stank off of you. It ain't stink no more, it's stank now. You've been carrying it around for a few days. It went from stink to stank. Some of us been carrying stink around for a while, you know what I mean? Man, I've been stinking for a few years, you know? God's good at dealing with our stink. He knows exactly how to wash the stink off of us. The washing machine is his glory. It's his glory, man. And you can't come into his glory passively. It's a sellout. You got to sell out. I often say this. I don't understand people who can come into his presence and not worship. If you knew that your resistance to worship was preventing his glory, you'd lift those hands, you'd jump up and down. I love my man Daniel here when he goes to experiencing the glory. It makes me, because glory is contagious. He starts jumping, I'm like, yeah, man. His glory will get on you. And there's nothing more attractive. How you think I pulled my wife? She's a 10, I'm a 3. Glory, baby. I got that glory. Don't you laugh, Eddie. You did the same thing. Got that glory. Surrender. Surrender. Church, you gotta surrender. You got to take off your mask. You got to pursue his glory. And you got to surrender. Stop taking pride in your image. For crying out loud, church, stop defending. Stop defending an image you know he didn't make. We try to justify what we feel, our opinions. And we defend it, right? Pride. It's pride. But there's this sweet moment of surrender where you get tired. Surrender comes when weariness overwhelms. He's not forming your image, he's forming his. Because your image was deformed. And he wants to transform you. Surrender today, church. Lay down your life today. Lay your life down like a lump of clay on the altar of the Lord and say, God, take my life of clay and form me into your image. I was reading in Revelation and it says that Jesus is the lion. And I thought, man, isn't that something? I laid down my old life and I came out looking like a lion. He makes us fearless, ferocious, kings and priests, royal priesthood, if you'll surrender. Jeremiah 18, he says, I went down to the potter's house. And there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It was marred. And just look at that. Have you ever had some marring in your life? Got some right now? It was marred. So he made it again. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Look, it's okay. It's okay. If it's a little broke, it's okay. If it's not looking like what you think is, it's okay. Just know it's only okay, though, if it's in the hand of the potter. It's okay, though, as long as you're in the hand of the potter. Man, if you're in his hand, there ain't nothing broke that can't be fixed. There ain't no hope lost that can't be restored. There ain't a situation you'll ever carry in your life that his hand can't handle. Long as you're in his hand, church, you're good. You're good as long as you're in his hand. Don't you let anyone tell you otherwise. You're good as long as you're in his hand. I'm in his hand. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I don't care what they say. I don't care who leaves. I'm not worried about any of it. Why? Because I'm in his hand. And I'm not perfect. I'm just in his hand. I don't do it all right. I just want you to know I'm in his hand. I don't say it all right, but I bet I'm not leaving his hand. I'm in his hand. He got his hands on me. He got his hands on you. Long as you gave your life to Jesus, he got his hands on you. He said, this is crazy right here, you know. He says, so what God will do to you when it's all broke, when it all looks hopeless, he said, he'll just start all over. He said, let's just start all over. You know what I mean? Let's just start from the beginning, you know. And then he puts his hands back on you. He says he made it again. You mess it up, you mess up again, guess what he'll do? Make it again. He just keep making it again and again and again and again and again. As long as you don't take yourself out of his hands. Come on, stand to your feet with me as we close. Only Jesus can make you again. Only Jesus can make you again. Come on, with your eyes closed, make this covenant with me today. Well, make the covenant that you're going to take off your mask today. Come on, child of God. No more running, no more hiding. Gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He knows what he's making. He knows exactly who you are, why you are. You are his. You're made in his image. You're being formed to look more and more like him. Take off the mask. Run to his glory. Come on, close your eyes. Just lift your hands to your glory. Take me to the glory. For in your glory, Jesus, we are transformed. We're not changed from who we are to a better version of who we are. No, no, no. We lay down who we are and we become who you are. We're transformed. Make us like you, Jesus. Make me like you, Jesus. Form me in your image that they might not see me any longer, but they would see the glorious God of heaven come to walk among them. I surrender. Come on, say that with me. I surrender. I surrender my image, my opinion, my thoughts, my ways. I surrender it all. I lay it down today and I just ask you, Jesus, just keep hold of my life. I surrender and I say, Jesus, take my life. Take it all, the hidden stuff. Take the stuff I don't tell nobody about. Take the pain that I can barely bear alone. Take it all from me today, Jesus. Take my life. I give it to you. Whew. I give you my life. I don't want you to serve me now. Oh, this is a change now. I don't want you to serve my need. No, no, Jesus, I am here to serve you, to offer my life as a ransom to you. Pray this prayer with me if you need to receive Jesus as your Savior once and for all. I repent of my sin. My sin has separated me from you. I receive your new life. I surrender my old life that your new life may be formed in me. Take my life now and use it to reveal yourself, your glorious self. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for Jesus? Listen. We're going to close in prayer, but if you need prayer today, if you gave your life to Christ today, we want to pray for you. Altar ministers are going to come around the front. And if you need prayer for healing, Jesus heals. It is a residual of his presence. If you need hope, hope comes with his presence. God bless you. If you gave your life to Christ, please come this way. If you need prayer, please come this way before you go that way. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. We love you. We bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. God bless you.